This morning we're going to be in Mark chapter 7, so if you would turn there. We are, as we go into this passage this morning, this is something I want to put in the front of your mind before we get started, and that is a question for you. We all go through life every day that we have some type of a need, some type of a trial that we're going into, maybe whatever it is. I don't know. You don't know mine. I don't know yours. But I don't need to, because my God knows yours and my God knows mine. But this morning we're going to be in Mark chapter 7. And I want to open your thoughts with this question of what need? If you were to think for just a minute, okay, I'm coming to church this morning that God would meet this need, whatever it is. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then that's your need. And so I pray that you go into this message understanding that that's your need. If you've been a Christian 70 years, you still have a need. Whatever it is, that is what you come here to meet. God wants to meet our needs, but too many times we don't come here asking Him to meet our needs. And so I want you to go into this message, into this service, saying, God, what need is there that you want to meet in my life? Because if you don't acknowledge the need, it's going to be really hard for you to acknowledge the fact that you need Him to meet that need. And so we are going to look at this passage. It's very short, but there is so much in this. And so as we get into it, read along with me. We're starting verse 24 of chapter 7 of Mark. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden, for a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon had gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we open up your word today. Lord, we pray that you'd open our hearts. I know that's got to be part of us, but Lord, we pray that you would draw us to you. Lord, we know that we can't come to you without the Spirit drawing us. But Lord, we pray that you do that today. We pray that you draw us into your presence, draw us into your word. Lord, if we need to be uncomfortable, I pray you make me uncomfortable. If I need to be excited, I pray you make me excited. Lord, make me what you want me to be, I pray, this day. And I pray that for each one here. Lord, that you would be glorified with the preaching of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, this is that passage, and there's several things going on here. Tyre and Sidon, if you've got a map in your Bible or at some point, it is outside of the ministry of where Jesus generally was. He went probably, this is the farthest place recorded from where he spent most of his ministry. And it says Tyre and Sidon, but it's really the region, that area. And these were people that were not necessarily the children of Israel. She was a Greek Syrophoenician, which is just... It's just basically telling us she was not of the normal people that Jesus would be teaching and preaching to. And so Jesus says he's wanting to get away, and so he takes and he's been confronted in the past chapter or so, and so he is going to kind of get away to spend time with his disciples. He figures if he goes outside of his normal area of ministry, then he will be able to have some quiet time. And so he goes into this house hoping that he would just be able to have some quiet time with his disciples and maybe teach or minister to them and maybe just rest. But the word of Jesus, the word about Jesus, goes beyond the ministry reach. And I say that to point out that I may minister in Stockton, but Jesus doesn't stop in Stockton. You may minister in Bolivar, but Jesus doesn't stop in Bolivar. This woman, she was going to do everything she could. She had a problem. Her daughter had a demon, and she wanted that done. And so as we start, I want you to look at this idea that this woman's problem, and we don't think a whole lot nowadays of demon possession, but Jesus is going, and he makes himself available. Think of the plan of Jesus. Now, we all know when we stop and we think of the plan of Jesus, we think of the plan of salvation. We think of the fact that God sent his son to die on the cross so that we could come to him and ask for forgiveness and have eternal life. And we think of the plan of salvation as God's plan. But I want you to understand, God has other plans. They all focus towards that. But understand this, in this passage, the plan. He goes to a region he's not been to before. And just as soon as this passage is over, he leaves. He ministers to one person in this whole region. He goes out of his way to present himself, to make himself available for one person. He goes to this region that is unknown from his ministry, and he does it, and he ministers to one. And if you go on into verse 31, it says, again, he departed the region of Tyre. So basically, from verse 24 to verse 30 is all it tells us that happened in that region. But what a difference it makes to that one person when Jesus goes out of his way and makes himself available in that region that just seems like I'm untouchable. Wow. Hey, we better listen then, huh? But she has this need, and he has the plan. Now, as we look at this passage, we're going to see some things in this passage that seem kind of harsh. But his plan was first to make himself available. And he did that. His plan with you, some people will say, well, you know, it's kind of harsh. If I don't do this or if I don't do that, then I'm going to hell. Jesus is going to send me to hell. Jesus doesn't send anybody to hell. You go to hell because you do not receive the free gift of salvation. If you're on a sinking ship and somebody comes over and they says, here's your lifeboat, and you choose not to get on it and you go down with the ship, the guy with the lifeboat didn't send you down with the ship. You chose to go down with the ship on your own. We need to understand that his plan for us, just like this woman, was that he would be available to her. You know, and I've had people say, well, you know, if he's available, that means everything's good. Well, Jesus went to this region, and he went into a house, and had that woman stayed outside the house, she would have never had the blessings of Jesus. Too many times people think, well, if God sent his son to save the world, and I'm in the world, then I'm saved. Jesus went to this region of Tyre and Sidon and had the woman stayed outside the house. At verse 31, when Jesus leaves, she'd have still been outside the house. She would have still not had her need met. To have her need met, she has to come into the house to meet Jesus personally. Well, that's where it gets uncomfortable. Think about it for this woman. As she comes to this place and she's heard about Jesus, it tells us, and she's going to come into him, but he's in somebody else's house. I don't care, I'm going in. Jesus is in there, try to keep me out. My daughter has this demon, I'm going in to see Jesus, don't keep me out. Too many of us, well, it would be uncomfortable just to walk up and just go into a house of somebody else's, to sit down and fall down at the feet of Jesus, but she did it. because she had that need. And so she goes in and she doesn't just go into the house. She goes into the house and she falls at His feet. So many people want just Jesus coming to the cross to be good enough. Or, I will go to church. I'll go in the house. And I'll go in there where I can listen to Him. And I'll go in there where I can hear about Him. And hear what He's saying. That's not where she stopped. That's where so many of us stop. That's where I used to stop all the time. Is I knew He died on the cross, and so I would go to church, and that was good enough. I would get in the house. Sometimes it was uncomfortable. Sometimes it felt like I had a grip on the back of that pew that I could just snap it off. But going in the house did not get her need met. Coming in these doors, that alone will not get your need met. She comes in and she fell at His feet. And this is a woman that didn't know Him, but she knew of Him. She knew of His power. She knew who He was. And so she comes into the house and she falls at His feet. That's where many of us have knee trouble. I'm not going to fall at Jesus' feet. He knows I love Him. He knows I come to study His Word. He knows I come and I sing these songs. He knows it, but do you? Well, that was getting kind of blunt really early in the sermon, wasn't it? But the bottom line is that's where we're at. She came and she fell at His feet. She had to surrender to Him. She had to acknowledge who He was. You know, for us, so many times, we think, never surrender. You know, you see those shirts, those signs that says, never say die, never surrender. If you never surrender to Jesus Christ, then you're not willing to die to yourself to live for Christ. What we have to understand in His Word is He tells us we have to surrender. We have to make Him the Lord of our life. And you know, when this woman came in, we know at least the disciples were in the room. Probably some of the people that lived in the house. The thing that gets me is she didn't care who was watching. Man, when I used to sit in the pew, and I knew I was supposed to be, I knew God was talking to me. I knew God was trying to get me to listen to Him. All I could think about was the people sitting beside me. Who is going to watch if I get up? What are they going to say if I get up and walk out of that pew? Or if I go to the altar to pray, what are those people around me going to say? Oh, he must have a serious problem. Well, let me tell you, everybody in here has got a serious problem. We're not where we need to be with Jesus. But man, when she went in that house, she was willing to fall down at Jesus' feet and surrender to Him, acknowledge who He was, and she did not care who was watching. Until we get to that point, you can tell people Jesus died on the cross. You can be in church every Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, I don't care. You can come in His house, but until you're willing to surrender to Him and put Him before everybody else, you have a big, big problem. Because you're putting that person beside you, or that person behind you, or that person on the other side of the church ahead of Jesus. You're concerned more about what they think than what Jesus thinks. She had to fall down. She had to surrender. She had to acknowledge who He was. She did that. And then it said, and she kept crying out, asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And if you go back to Matthew, the parallel, this same passage in Matthew, it says that when she first asked, He didn't respond. And the disciples even wanted her to leave. But Here it tells us basically the same thing when she says she kept asking. She kept asking him to cast out this demon. She kept wanting her problem taken care of. I wonder if she would have ever thought about going into that house and saying, "Hey, Jesus, I got a problem. Could you take care of it?" No, she was specific. This is going to get uncomfortable again. I'm telling you. You and I, no matter what our problem is, I'm not close enough to God. I need to be specific with Him. She came in and she said, "My daughter has a demon. I want you to cast him out. I'm going to fall at your feet. I'm going to acknowledge you, but I'm going to call on you specifically to answer this prayer." So many of us will not be specific with Jesus. One, because, well, what if he doesn't answer? Well, then where's my faith? If I pray for God to answer this and he doesn't answer it, then where's my faith? Your faith needs to be in Him whether He answers or not. But He's going to answer yes, no, later. But the thing is, His yes may not be the same as your yes. His no is what you need. And later may be a long time down the road, but that doesn't mean you quit asking. Go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus takes the disciples and He said, "You stay here and I'm going to take these guys with me and we're going to go over and we're going to pray." And He prays that God will take this cup from him. He gets back up and He goes back over and they're asleep. And he wakes them up and He goes back and He prays the same thing again. And He goes back and they're sleeping. And he prayed it three times. He knew God heard him. But he wanted it. He wanted God's will, and so he prayed for God's will. You and I need to be specific for what we need. But not just for what we need, specific for the sin in our life that shouldn't be there. "Pastor Steve, if I was specific about every sin in my life, I'd never get off my knees." Well, you're not the only one. But I need to know that the sin in my life is separating me from my Lord and Savior, from doing the things He wants, from me being in the center of His will where He desires me to be. If I'm not going to be specific about sin, then I'm just going to lump it all together and say, "Jesus, just go take care of this. Jesus, just take the garbage out. And I'll assume He took care of this, and I'll assume He took care of that." Go to Him specifically. Be specific and ask, "What is your problem? Jesus, I've never asked you into my heart, and I don't know how to do that." Go to Him. Deal with Him. He will talk to you. Be specific. But you know another reason why so many of us don't want to be specific when we pray to God and ask for Him to deal with our problem? Because if you're going to go to Him, if I'm going to go to Him, I have to be willing to be obedient and open. That's no fun. I can be open with God, but I don't want to. It's uncomfortable. It's not like He doesn't know anyway. But that obedient part, man, if I surrender my life to Him, where is He going to send me? What's He going to call me to do? He's going to call you to be in the center of His will. And there is no better place than to be in the center of God's will. And if you're not going to be specific with Him, you've got to be open and obedient to what He calls you to do. This woman, she kept crying out. Her faith was persistent. She really wanted that issue taken care of. So many times when we say, "God, what do you want me to do today?" We'll say it one time. "God, I gave you your chance. I asked you at 7 this morning. By 7:30, you hadn't responded. We're done. We're going on and I'm looking for what I want to do." Continue to go to Him until He gives you that release or that answer. We need to make sure that we are consistent in our prayers. If you really want it, then don't give up. Be persistent, but be patient. Then there's a part of this verse, these verses that I love here that I want to make sure we don't miss today. Because she came, she fell at His feet, she cried out to Him, she kept asking Him. And a lot of people say, well, Jesus was pretty cruel when He said, let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. If you understand that, what it's talking about is Jesus came for the children of Israel. He was their Messiah and they rejected Him. And so the little dogs were able to find grace. But understand in this passage, we know that a lot of times the Pharisees would refer to the Gentiles as dogs. And that was not the same word as they use here in the Greek. There is two Greek words that they use for dogs. There is one that is that mangy mutt that lives out on its own and it's out there and it's going to get your chickens. It's going to do everything it can on its own. It's a miserable dog. That's the term that the Pharisees would use. Oh, those Gentiles, those dogs, those lower than life animals. But here, it's a different word for little dogs. Because think about this. Where is the little dog? It's in the house. It's under the table. It's at the master's feet. It's at the children's feet. It's not a mangy mongrel. It's that puppy that's loved by the family. Think about this. Because they are all in the master's house. But the children of the master were supposed to have the bread first. Get that. Let the children be filled first. If I say, okay, I'm going to dismiss this group first, what does that mean to these other two groups? Hey, I'm going. I'm going to get dismissed either second or third. If you're going to do something first, then you're doing something else second. If the children were to get the bread first, then those second in line that are in the master's house are going to get what's next. Understand that when the Jews, when they rejected Jesus, grace was opened up to us. And we are loved by the Master. And that was part of His plan. All along, that was part of His plan. Because He said, it's supposed to go to them first. And you can put this in there. And I'm not trying to add to the Scripture, but this is what the Greek is saying. They were to have it first. You're to get it next. They were offered the Messiah first and they rejected Him, so He's offered to you now. Understand that passage. That Jesus all along had intended to give the crumbs to the puppies. But His first intention was to go to the children. And man, she comes back with a great answer. She answered and said to Him, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Man, if they're going to drop it, give me the crumbs. I think sometimes you and I, we want to sit at the table. We want to get the best of everything. Man, that's not the way it works. That's not the way Scripture designed it. Sometimes we have to settle for crumbs. Now understand, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad. But what happened when she received the crumbs? Her daughter was healed that very second. Jesus didn't even have to say that your daughter's healed. If you read the passage, it says, for saying this, go your way, the demon has gone. The demon's already gone because of what you just did. Because of your faith and understanding, this woman understood that though she was not a Jew, the blessings of God were still available to her. So many times, we are so focused on ourselves that we miss out on the blessings of God. If she had sat there, and when Jesus made that comment to feed the little children first, not to throw it to the little dogs, if she could have got offended or give up and walked out, her daughter would have still had that demon. But whatever your need is, understand that when Jesus gives you something, it's enough. What Jesus has for you is enough. His grace is sufficient. His blessings are enough. But you and I, sometimes we think we deserve better. As we close up this passage, I want you to go back to that question I had you ask yourself earlier. What your need is. Nobody else knows. There are other people in the house, but they're not watching you. They shouldn't be. They should be watching their need. Well, Jesus Christ made Himself available on the cross. He has came to the region that you didn't think He could ever come to. He has presented Himself in a way that only He could. Are you willing to come to Him and surrender? And I don't, like I said, I don't know what your need is, but He does. But if you want to try to pack it, if you want to try to carry it along and you want to try to get along with it, it's only going to get heavier. You have to give it to Him. You have to surrender lordship of your life. And I'm not talking about just for that first time. Those of you that have never accepted Christ, yes, we have to surrender our life to Christ, to become the Lord of our life. But I don't care if you've been a Christian for 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, whatever. You have to surrender your life every single day. Because if you don't, you'll carry that problem. I'm a good churchgoer. I can walk in the house and I can see Jesus and I can recognize Him and I can hear what He says. But if I don't surrender to Him, my need will never be met. My need will never be met if I don't surrender to Him. And as big as the void seems to be for me sometimes with the need that I have, to Him that's just a crumb. Man, to Him that's just something that He's just got extra. That He wants to take care of your problems. He's got what seems like it's nothing, but it can be everything if you'll give Him your need. Come to Him, surrender, and cry out specifically. Be vulnerable, be open, be obedient, all those things that she had to do. And what He has will be enough. So where you're at with your problem, are you going to walk out of here with it? Are you going to walk out of here with that problem? Whether it's no salvation, or whether it's no quiet time, whether it's no Bible study, whether it's a bad attitude, whether it's, I don't know. I'm just listing all the ones that I've had in the past. Some that I still have. But I don't want to walk out of this building with them. And at 11 o'clock, when my watch starts vibrating and tells me to shut up, then I don't want to walk out of here with those same problems. I don't know what you need. But I know if you came in here with a need and you go out here with that same need, it's not my fault. And it's not His fault. He came so that you could have your needs met. Are you willing to surrender that need to Him specifically? There's no reason why you shouldn't. But that choice is up to you. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before You right now. I thank You for Your Scripture. I thank You for Your plan. Thank You for all that You've done. Lord, right now I just pray more than anything that You would move in this place. Speak to us. Make that need come to our mind. The one that You want to take care of. Lord God, move in this place. Be glorified. Fulfill Your plan in our lives. Not because we deserve it, not because we even want it, Lord, but because You desire to give it to us. Because You desire to move in our lives. God, be real within us, among us. May we be what You desire us to be. Creator of heaven and earth, reach down among us. Move in us. Be glorified in us and through us. God, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. May You help us in the way that we need to bring honor and glory to You more. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.